You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Guys, for being here. It is 22 years, two decades strong, working on three Voices of Montana. Been that objective perspective for a long time. And Tow Rope Tour continuing here, Malta, Montana. Been so excited to get up to the High Line, Shelby, Haver, and Malta. And I'm serious. Rhonda, Avery, we're having too much fun already, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, period. Let's continue to have some fun, okay?
Right.
We're going to honor the folks from Malta who've done an awful lot. I think Rhonda Dalby is with us, Avery Sorensen, kind of kick things off here. Bridget Moreau is going to join us a bit later on. Katie Brown, Jim Dumas, a good list of folks here who just day in and day out contribute to this community. This is what the Tow Rope Tour is about. But you guys, you two, you had this thing going on with cruise nights here, and it just kind of blew up earlier. Why don't you talk about it, Rhonda? People are just excited to kind of get out and see each other again, especially early in the pandemic.
Very excited. We were stuck in our houses for a month or more, and a friend of mine sent me a thing. They were doing a cruise in Sydney, Montana, and I posted it, and Jenny Anderson said, "Hey, Rhonda, why don't you get that going?" So I said, "Okay," and there I went.
And
it got huge, hundreds of cars out, old cars, new cars, kids, old people. We had all the businesses that would do different specials, and they just stopped right outside, delivered it out, so they weren't going in and out of businesses or the drive-ups or whatever. And we did a big, huge food bank truck. It was filled the truck for the food bank, and we filled that truck, and my pickup got filled up also with stuff. It was so big, and the food bank got a lot of stuff out of that. Some people just did money for the food bank, so they got a lot of that too, and it was just huge, and it continued to be huge when Avery did it this year.
Yeah, Avery, talk about continuing this, and talk about what it meant to the community to kind of come up with something that they could all share, and as we were all going through this together.
Yeah, so we just had so much fun last year doing this that it was this last fall, I was riding around with Leif, my husband, and we were hunting, and I was like, you know, we should do that cruise thing again. That was so much fun. So I reached out to Rhonda on Facebook, and I told her, I was like, hey, Rhonda, we should do that cruise again. And so I kind of messaged her again in April, and I know she had a lot of things going on, and she's like, yes, do it, take off with it. And so I was like, okay, fine. So I started reaching out to some businesses and asking them if they wanted to run any extra specials. We had a food truck this year, our brewery partook in it. And like Rhonda said, it just kind of ends up spiraling, which is such a great thing because so many businesses wanted to be involved. The coffee shop even did, the Milk River Mocha did a drive-through special. The movie theater does a popcorn on special on popcorn.
And plays their music on the old speakers.
Yeah, so we had like music playing from out that you could hear from outside.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I get Cameron Marr does music over the radio.
He does like cruise tunes and things.
Yeah.
So it was so much fun. And this year too, so many people of all ages were involved. And I think that was what was so fun about it was literally families, carloads of people. You would just see they would load up everyone in their family, and it would be bumper to bumper from Promises parking lot all the way out to West Side. And the police even had to
direct
stop
traffic
on Highway 2.
Had to stop driving to direct traffic.
Oh,
yeah.
So you said, look what I started, and then you decided I better do something
good.
About it.
Yeah, I better go help the police.
I was kind of honestly a little worried when I saw the police stopped on Highway 2. I was like, holy cow, I wonder what people are thinking when they're driving through town and they can't get through. Yeah. Yeah, so it was definitely such a fun turnout thing. We had grandmas doing burnouts in the parking lot at Joe's.
Yes.
I mean, people.
Okay, is that
just
a true story?
No, it was Lois Waters.
Yes, you should see her car. It's
you
amazing.
You just busted her. That's great.
I know. Yeah. Sorry, Lois.
No, I bet she loves it. Thank you very much, Lois.
Yes.
That's carrying it on like you oughta. Cruise nights were fun. Rhonda Dalby, also, your daughter made masks, and not just a handful of masks.
Jeez. No, she made over 2,000 masks with people all over donating material and money for her to keep building them. And they got delivered from Poplar to Whitefish to Billings to different nurses at hospitals. And I personally do Remicade for my Crohn's, so my nurses in Glasgow got a bunch of them. Malta got them. And they just went all over with her mask. And Juanita Crasco taught her how to make all of them.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So everybody just kind of chipping in. Avery, you own Family Matters here. That's a local co-op store that had to shut down for a while, too.
Yes. But
the community also is a part of that.
Yeah, so the community, the way that Family Matters came about was they were presented with the opportunity to purchase shares for $500 a share. And this was because JCPenney's closed and we did not have any clothing option in town.
Right.
So in order to even buy like the basics, you'd have to go either 90 miles west or 70 miles east or 200 and some south. So basically they were like, we really need something. And this was, we opened in 2000. So this was 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
So the community really came together at that time too. And they pooled their money together. And we have a board of directors that consists of 5 board members. And the president too is one of the, he's been there for a really long time, one of the original people.
Great example of the community coming together, no matter what the need was.
Yeah,
absolutely. It happens constantly.
Yeah.
Malta's great for that.
It is, I know. And you want to quickly get any Total Rope Heroes mentioned out there that helped you along?
Susan Green? Me and her do so much stuff together for fundraisers for so many people that if a couple of times a year at the Mint Bar, we're doing fundraisers for something.
Yeah, nice. Thank you for that, Susan. Yeah. Thank you for your work. And who comes to mind for you? You mentioned somebody at the board there as well, Family Matters, but who else comes to mind?
I think Alicia Iro has done
definitely
some things for our community that have been great. I think a lot of the people on the chamber have done a great job in our community and
good. Everybody needs to chip in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
And during this pandemic, it has happened a lot.
Well, next time you guys do a cruise night, let me know. Okay?
Oh, yeah. You got to come.
Yeah, I will.
You got to do burnouts in the parking lot with
Grams.
Yeah. I think I got like a clown car or something. Were there no clown cars? Good. I'll be the only clown car.
The only one.
Yeah. Rhonda Dalby and Avery Sorensen, thank you guys. You're Total Rope Heroes. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're going to keep it here because we're going to line up Bridget Iro. But I want to mention our sponsor here. That's Mountain Health Co-op. Special enrollment period has been going on. I think it ends now toward the end of August. But check out their website. This is a co-op model, okay? No extra costs for hundreds of prescription drugs, including those for diabetes, heart disease, and asthma. It's Mountain Health Co-op. They have you covered when it counts. And it always counts when it comes to your health. Visit mountainhealth.coop for more information. Total Rope Tour, we are here in Malta, Montana at Crossroads. Like I said, having too much fun. Bridget Iro has joined us. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. It's good to see you here.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of this community. You were nominated for... various contributions that you make to the community, teachers, volunteers at the elementary school. Just talk about why that community in particular, the teachers, are on your heart.
Oh, okay. So I'm involved in Partners in Education. It's called PI. And
nice.
I started when I have adult children that are like 30. So I started doing that a long time ago when they started school. And then my daughter, she's 12, she's a sixth grader, and I started when she was in kindergarten. And so it's really just ladies that kind of put their talents to use to find ways to appreciate the teachers, the staff, all the people in the elementary school, and also create moments where children are able to achieve, find success, or like, you know, maybe not be trophy winners, but be successful, be involved, and create more of a relationship between our teaching staff. And there's a big middle ground there. And also, just so many people, they might have an hour a year or an hour a week, and they can contribute in so many small ways. And I have, like, I have maybe set aside more time to do that, but it's a lot of people that work together to make, you know, we have a list of events, and then we kind of add to it every year. You know, we added to it by adding the, I kind of took on helping with the science fair and then kind of took it over, and now it kind of has passed, and it's all Pie Ladies. That I have a t-shirt.
Is that what you call them, Pie
yeah,
Ladies?
Pie Ladies.
Oh, I love that.
I actually have a t-shirt that says Pie Till I Die, but my daughter was like, please don't wear that, Mom. Okay. But yeah, I mean, we just, you know, and we earn money for Popcorn Fridays. We give it back to the teacher, whichever class, you know, and moms get to go there. And it's actually just a great time to spend, you know, you can grab a friend and go for an hour or two or whatever you can give. Pie can use.
And you set this up ahead of time. I mean, this is something that didn't come about because of the pandemic. It's just because you've got a heart for teachers and supporting them because they play a big role in the community. But during the pandemic, it was real trying on our students and our teachers. So having pie in place at that time, what were some of the things that you did through that?
As soon as pie came, well, we had the science fair, and then we couldn't go to regionals, and all this started. But we still went ahead with the teacher appreciation, and it was great. You know, kids came and put their little signatures on boards, and we had a teacher appreciation where teachers come in. The most exciting thing for me is this year, Kelly Cederberg, who's a counselor and a teacher at the middle school, that's where my daughter went. She called me up and she's like, oh, we have a group here and we'd love to have a teacher appreciation at our school. And I was like, yes. I was so excited because my daughter was like, don't you dare come over here. I was like, oh, great. So we had our first one there. So, and that was with her group of kids. So we're going to keep doing that. So that's for that's for the middle school, their staff, their teachers. And, you know, I'm thinking we're going to be able to have like a first day of school thing when the teachers come back for the first day of school and have those kind of things throughout the year where, you know, no one person is it's never been a burden to me because I just love this stuff. You know, I'm just
that's good.
But no one person has to do everything. It's like, it's great. So, you know, we just have a group of ladies. I wanted to mention some of their names.
Please do. You got about a minute here, so go ahead.
Cindy Salveson, Kayla Weiss, Megan Newman, Jill Hult, Mariah Marino, Jamie Cody, and Gretchen Boardman, and quite a few other ladies here that are able to, you know, it doesn't happen by itself. I'm kind of a little bit of an organizer.
Oh, good.
So
it takes one of those, you know. You got to have at least one of them, right?
I have no idea why, because if you saw my garage, you'd be like, woo.
Oh, that's funny.
I do love it, though.
Yeah, thank you for doing it, because I know it encourages our education community, and they need it, because it's a challenging job.
Oh, yeah. The teachers here in this community and the staff in the schools are top-notch. They're the best, and they don't get enough, you know, maybe parents and providers don't have enough opportunity to say thank you.
Yeah.
So we open that door and we love the teachers.
Thank you so much for doing it.
Hey, thank you.
Pat them on the back for us too.
Oh,
they're all
total
rope heroes.
Yes,
and
they are.
This group as well with that pie. I love that.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That. We'll take a break. And we are from Montana for Montana and out 406ing, celebrating our connections here in the beautiful Treasure State. Total Rope Tour, Malta, Montana. Back with more in just a bit. I do have to remind you guys, go to the website. Tow Rope Tour continues. We're going to be traveling all across Montana, but it doesn't necessarily mean, if we're not coming to your community specifically, that you can't nominate a tow rope hero. And if you do, they, as well as yourself, will be eligible for this Bad Boy mower from Western Ranch Supply. It's a zero-turn mower. Everybody looks at it. Everybody wants it. Nobody wants to mow their lawn, but everybody wants a bad turn mower, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if it's free.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. I would win that any day. Tom Schultz back here. We are at Crossroads Coffee and Bistro here. We'll talk with Vince a bit later on. But right now it's Katie Brown and Sally Sorensen. Or Salverson, pardon me. Thank you. There are some Sorensens running around.
Yeah, there is. You just saw one.
Yep, that's right. With Arcan, that's the Rural Community and Ag Neighbors. And I have to say, when I started talking to folks about who are Total Rope Heroes in Malta, you guys came up a lot. Arcan came up an awful lot. What is Arcan? What's it do?
So
this is Katie.
Yes, this is Katie. It's just a group of women, actually, and we sometimes drag our husbands into it, but that we all kind of, we're all egg-based. We all have children
yeah.
that are egg-related. My kids are fifth generation on the family ranch.
Oh, wow.
So that's something that is worth working for and fighting for, so we didn't
yes.
want to lose that. So,
thank you for that.
Our mission statement is working together with community stakeholders to enhance rural communities and sustain working agricultural lands and producers. Basically, anything within our ag community, not just Malta, anywhere that they would need us. We know how vital it is to have businesses to support agriculture and agriculture to support businesses. So we've kind of have a wide variety of things that we've done so far, from fundraising to starting a rodeo sanction series. We're working on our first egg project, finally, kind of why we started. It just took a little bit of money and time to get there.
Sally, talk about that egg project.
One of the big reasons why we started was really to support agriculture and keep those lands in our community in egg production rather than, being sold outside of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really want to give our producers another option. And we have been doing a lot of brainstorming. Our project actually is going to consist of a survey that we are going to put out to the egg producers to say, hey, what is out there preventing you from transferring your property? What can we do to help? What would you like us to research and look into? And that's just going to get us some data to get started.
Is Arcan a volunteer organization?
Yes,
yep,
we are.
Volunteer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it takes a lot of hours to do this. But as we talk a lot on the show on Voices of Montana, preserving our rural communities preserves our rural values in Montana, would you say?
Yeah, and that's few and far between now.
Yeah,
the further we go on, the less and less it becomes. So we really want to make sure. I think it helps that all of us have kids that are coming up into that. It gives us a little extra boost and a little something extra to fight for.
Yeah, and I'd say that was a big driver with all of us and our kids wanting to keep our kids with this lifestyle and growing up in this way.
Yeah, you couldn't have a better
amazing.
Way of growing up.
Yeah.
through the pandemic, talk about how that maybe refocused things for Arcan or our rural communities. How did you guys come together? Because you knew you had to come together
mm-hmm.
to get through this.
We're a pretty resilient group. we're kind of like your rural Montana. It really didn't slow us down.
Good, yeah.
It was going to...
Yeah, we just kept going. Because we mostly kept going in our town.
And thankfully, our town just kind of kept going. We're lucky that we're in such a small community that we were able to. But even like our sanctioned rodeos, I don't think hardly any of them had to reschedule. It's just... That's the kind of people we're dealing with,
yeah.
all the time.
With the rodeo series, we were able to continue that because it was, largely outdoors or mm-hmm. in a bigger barn there where we didn't have to worry about restrictions as much, especially with the competitors.
I know that rural communities are facing a lot of pressure, as we kind of talked about. What's the future? Folks like Arcan making that kind of difference, keeping these businesses alive?
Yeah, like I said before, it takes... egg to keep the businesses and vice versa. So for the future, I hope that we can our main focus right now is going to be our next egg project. And we just want to make sure, and we're going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that it's here in years to come for all of us.
Sally, what kind of feedback do you get? It gives the community confidence?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. We've had a lot of businesses sponsor and join our membership group. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of people who are supporting us and the cause.
That's cool. Well, thank you guys for doing this. This is just, it just comes out of a need. But if you don't step up and say, hey, I'll raise my hand, I'll do it. And I don't suppose it takes more than just that first step and then the next step. And then things will start falling in place.
Oh, yeah. We just fell into it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just want to thank all of our girls, though. There's six of us. Myself, Sally, Jolynn Messerly, Delcy Whitmer, Megan Pankratz, and Jade Salveson, and of course, our husbands that get dragged through the mud with it. So,
thank you guys.
Yes.
The community appreciates it too.
Yep, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
That is Arcan, Katie Brown, and Sally Salverson. Got to take a break. Headline time, and then Richard Dumas is going to join us here in just a bit. Toe Rope Tour, Malta, Montana, on Voices of Montana. It's Jim Dumas, actually, from Big Sandy. Not here. Highline Packing. He's got a story to tell. We'll talk with him a bit later on. Richard is here. That's Richard Dunbar, the county commissioner. We'll probably catch up with him a bit later on, too. Welcome back. It's the Tow Rope Tour. Tom Schultz here in Malta, Montana, at Crossroads. And now joining us is Janice Reichel, a home care nurse from the Phillips County Hospital, to talk about a grant. Hi, Janice. How are you?
Good. Good.
Thank you for being here. A grant, a large grant, a $40,000 grant. And when they come into rural communities like this, there's always a need for funding like this, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Where to go?
Well, I'm going to tell you, way back in 2006, the legislators decided they wanted to have a buy-in of the local people on how to improve mental health.
Yes.
Now the go-to term is behavioral health, but at that time it's mental health.
Gotcha.
And I stepped forward to be the chairman of that committee, and Terry Skiff stepped forward to be the treasurer. And I bring this up because this year, Terry, she, as the treasurer, got a run for her money because we put in for this grant, and it kept evolving. And I want to give a shout-out to the commissioners right off, Richard and John and Bruce, because if they had not okayed it, we wouldn't have had it. And then I want to say that it had to be run through the public health department, and they had to. And so Ginny, she did some work for us, and the commissioner's clerk, Linnell Shuttle, she sure helped out too. Then we moved on to how to stay within the grant guidelines, and some of it was COVID money, and it was rare because it was money that could be spent on people's utilities or their rent if they had a mental situation, or if they had a COVID problem, or if they just had plain and simple bad luck. So I was very pleased because people have been giving us names all year long, and we kind of went with the WIST rules, three sure tricks and a partner. If three of us on the committee thought it was the right thing to do, we went with it, and if we had somebody say no, we didn't. Well, then we found that there were some people going over and above what they really did, either at their job or just as a neighbor and a friend, and we really believe that you should catch somebody doing something right, and that helps the whole community. So we started giving out $100 Good Neighbor Awards.
Oh, nice.
And that was a little bit of a surprise because the people were so humble. They would always say, we aren't doing any more than anybody else, and they would often, just be almost embarrassed, but they deserved it, and we frankly have even more people that deserve it. But we thought these were just good designees. So, these ones are nominated for the Tow Rope Award.
Yeah.
We haven't given them the Good Neighbor Award because we just hadn't thought of them, and when I was writing this up this morning, but I wanted to reach out to Orvin Solberg because he utilized his own family COVID loss, and there were a lot of them. I think their family lost 4 people, and he used it to educate the public as a minister from the pulpit on the radio. And then he also, they took a lot of the memorial money from these people, and they helped families that needed it. And help people. And that just got a few more people through the crisis.
Thank you.
We appreciate
Orvis, we got time for another name on there.
Okay. One that I wanted to mention was Kent Gordon. He's been a local minister here. And I just wanted to hold him up because he has done more memorials in our county for veterans and for people who have committed suicide. And some of this is because he himself is a veteran, and some of it is because he was a very loved teacher.
Thank you, Kent. Thank you, Orvis. Thank you, Janice, for fighting this battle. It's an important and thank you for all the contributions here to all the people you work with here at in Phillips County.
Thank you.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
We're at the home of the Great Plains Dinosaur Museum, the Judith River Dinosaur Museum, or Dinosaur Institute. Kid Curry's gang, I think, robbed the citizens of Malta back in 1903. There's a lot of history up here on the High Line, the tow rope tour, and a lot of real close-knit community partnerships going on. We're celebrating that with the Tow Rope Tour. I'm Tom Schultz. We're back live here at Crossroads Coffee and Bistro. We'll talk with Vince a bit later on. We're live on the air here at KMMR. Also for a couple of hours following this, because there's just too many people to thank here. I want to thank one of our sponsors here, and that's Mountain Health Co-op. And, you know, health insurance, it actually can be free or only cost a few dollars a month. Seriously, this is true. You need to look into this. It's even free to speak with an agent to see whether you qualify for these $0 plans. That's the difference between a co-op and a lot of the other insurance providers. You're going to be member owned there. So visit mountainhealth.coop online, get an appointment to explore your coverage options. A lot of them there covering you when it counts. Mountain Health Co-op. I know Gretchen Boardman is a big co-op fan, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. As with the big flat electric co-op, and you're the general manager there.
I am.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and we're also with Jenny Tollison, who's Phillips County Health Nurse, and both your names came up an awful lot when you were talking about tow rope tours, tow rope heroes, and Jenny, yours especially. I got to say, because we relied on our healthcare professionals. There was a lot of unknowns when it came, especially early on in the pandemic. I'll start with you, Gretchen, because that's one of the things as general manager for Big Flat Electric Co-op. There was a lot of unknowns, but you still needed to provide electricity. You were an essential worker.
For sure. You know, our goal every day is to provide power to our members. We have 1,100 members throughout Blaine, Phillips, and Valley County. And we actually were pretty fortunate in Phillips County to not get the outbreak early. And so we had time to adjust and start training and learning. And we worked with our statewide quite a bit on how to advance to the next steps.
Yeah.
And a lot of the bigger co-ops had issues before us. Well, in August, our office was hit with COVID, and we had only 3 people that it didn't affect directly, either through quarantine process or positive cases themselves. And so at that point is when Jenny kind of came in play. I mean, she came in play beforehand with information, but directly us getting affected with Jenny and having her help us was during that time when you only have 3 people in your office. My concern was, if we have a power outage, we have 1,100 members that are relying on us. And so I contacted Jenny, and I said, here's the deal. What do we do? And she's like, cool, calm, collective. She's like, calm down. You're good. You're good. We're going to have a plan in place. If there's an emergency outage, we will get power on. The guys that are only quarantined would be like in a hazmat suit, basically.
Okay.
They would be geared up and go from there. She said there was some paperwork we had to fill out so that we were making sure that we were following this. I would assume their state. I don't know if that was what Jenny can talk a little bit more on that. State rules or whatever requirements. But from there on, Jenny was my lifeline. I mean, we talked to her for 14 straight days.
Yeah.
So. Jenny, I don't suppose that you or a lot of your staff members and colleagues got a lot of rest.
No.
Yeah.
No, we did not. And I do have to say, you know, my name may have came up a lot, but, I mean, every single person in my office, which is 2 other full-time workers, and then we brought on Dixie Moore. So Tasha Hines and Kayla Young were my lifeline. I mean, they did everything I did. There was nothing that I did that they didn't do in this last year. So I do have to give a shout-out to them as well. And it is different for essential workers versus non-essential when we were doing the quarantine processes. So, I mean, we had to do a lot of education on why these people can do this versus why you're at home quarantined. I mean, it is totally different. And I will say, we were so blessed to be in a small community during COVID-19. I mean, our county is relatively small, and we went above and beyond because we knew the people we were working with. I mean, you can't say that doesn't make a difference. When you're calling somebody to do positive, you know, tell them that they're positive, and you know them on a personal level, it's going to be different. I mean, we still had to do our jobs and quarantine people, but, you know, you have that extra drive to do things above and beyond if you know somebody.
Right.
And that's just how it is, you know. And then the community reciprocates back to us. I don't know how many coffees we had bought for us. I have had two macchiatos per day for the last year, I think. So I'm very caffeined up.
Thank you, Malta, for that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we had lunch bought for us every single day for like the month of August. We had gift certificates for massages. I just can't tell you, you know, how blessed we were.
How did that make you guys feel, and the staff feel, and all the medical professionals? Because I know how trying it was.
It was. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times where we were having breakdown moments. I mean, like, I can't do this. And that's when, like, my coworker would step up and say, okay, I'm taking this weekend. You are not answering the phone, you know? So, I mean, it was a little bit of just reassurance that people appreciate what we're doing and keep moving forward. And we just kept picking each other up in our office, and the community helped with that, you know.
Gretchen, when you came to Jenny, you needed some help initially. And then for Big Flat Electric, you were able to just kind of continue to move forward. Talk about how through this pandemic your guys' business model may have evolved, or because people rely like they do on the health department, electricity, as you were saying.
Yeah, so some of the things, we had a few minor changes. I wouldn't say we made any major, major changes. I think our whole system works well already for the most part. We are, one of the changes we made is our doors were closed, but they were open. I mean, we had them locked. We encouraged more of dropping off payments. And then if needed, they could come in. And so, but we did require masks when they were to come in.
Right.
And, you know, we wanted to protect our staff. I mean, she was just talking about how important her staff was. I couldn't do it without my staff.
Yeah.
My staff and our line guys are what makes everything go.
Exactly.
And are the one major change that was that we did outside for our line guys is everybody had to take their own vehicle. So we weren't putting two in a vehicle. Because I can actually say that is how I ended up being quarantined.
Oh, yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
I was with one of our guys, and he ended up being positive, and we were two in a vehicle, so I was quarantined. So that was an easy one to fix.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that happened to me, so we're going to only have one per vehicle.
Was it different, Jenny, for every business? I mean, there were some things, I suppose, that were going to, when they called you and said, how do I operate? How do I keep my employees safe? How do I keep my doors open? You kind of had to advise maybe individually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked to several businesses, and it was not like a cookie-cutter set thing. I mean, certain businesses have everybody clumped together up front, like in a teller line. Some people are alone in their offices with doors. And so, I mean, it is a completely different situation depending on each place of business. And so, I mean, there was a lot of phone calls, a lot of advising. It wasn't cut and dry either. I mean, we were all doing, I mean, it was new territory for everybody. So, I mean, we were doing the best we could with the information we had at the time and trying to give the best advice that we could and we really tried to just use common sense for the most part.
A lot of education was necessary,
yes,
though, wasn't there?
Lots of education.
Yep. How has that changed in Phillips County? Okay, because we understand now that telehealth is going to be big. We need to get infrastructure for that sort of thing. But how did it awaken something new, perhaps, in Phillips County from a health perspective?
Well, I mean, it changed the whole process of how we're doing healthcare right now. I mean, over at the clinic and hospital, they've had to change how they do things. I mean, they have a permanent screener there. You don't come in unless you don't have a temperature. Masks are still mandatory in clinic settings. There is going to be a lot more, like you said, televisits and things like that. It's not going to all be in person. So, I mean, I think it's going to kind of change how we do things probably forever.
Yeah.
And some of the things will be, you know, it opened our eyes to new possibilities of how to do things, and it might be a step in the right direction of, oh, we should have been doing this before COVID.
I want to, you guys have a chance to, you already thanked some people, I know, but top of mind, Co-Rope Heroes, your staff obviously was one, and Gretchen, you mentioned all those linemen as well. Phillips County, it relies on this whole rural nature. I mean, the people are just down home sort of thing, but getting health care to the rural community is a real challenge, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people don't bat an eye at traveling 200 miles to go to a specialist in Billings or Great Falls. I mean, those are the two closest big areas for people to get to, so it is really a challenge here. We don't have a lot of things that would be really nice. I mean, I was visiting with a girl who there's no OBs hardly along the High Line, and she's like, where do I go? And I'm trying to like help her, and you know, there's just limited providers everywhere for things like that. Mental health is always a challenge in this area. So there are a lot of barriers. You do feel it when you have a medical need, and they do a great job up here at Phelps County Hospital. But if you need like a specialist or something outside of that, you know, it is a barrier.
Yeah. And it's not over yet. We've got to remember the pandemic is still
on.
Yep. So we're taking a lot of precautions, but we're starting to see a little light on the other side.
Yes. Yes.
Really great. Gretchen Boardman with Big Flat Electric. Thank you for being here. Thanks for what you do. And give all those linemen and all those staffers a pat on the back for us, too.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Yep. Jenny Tolleson, same thing.
Okay? Thank you so much.
Yep. We'll take a break and we'll come on back as we have now, a guy who his name comes up an awful lot, too, as a tow rope hero, Greg Kelb from KMMR. We are from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana, and back with the Tow Rope Tour from Malta, Montana, in just a bit. Back here with just another minute to kind of catch up to date on Brian Raymond. His mother-in-law, Sharon Young, is with us here. We've just got about 30 seconds. He got that lung transplant in record time, really, in about 8 days. And how's he doing now?
He is doing wonderful. He is doing some pulmonary rehab right now. But at this point, they have given him an estimated date to return to Montana of June 20th.
Oh, nice. So it's coming up then.
It is.
You must be very excited.
We are. Yeah. The kids are too. We're going to head down there next week and take their kids down to see him.
Well, our prayers will still go out for Brian because it's real tough. I know I have a brother-in-law who went through this, and it wasn't 8 days' time. He had to wait for a while. It's a nerve-wracking sort of thing.
It is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing what you do, for caring family, and for being Brian's tow rope hero.
Thank you.
Yeah. And same to you, Greg Kelb.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
You do a great job. Thank you so much. A
lot of fun to be here. We'll continue on the Tow Rope Tour, but we're going to continue on here on KMMR as well. You got so many Tow Rope heroes to talk about. So
yeah.
Can I borrow your station for a little while?
Yeah.
All right.
Please
That's
do.
Good. That's good. We will see you guys on Monday.